Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Modiwa Kavaza, and for today, we're talking about something, you know, that's a bit different, you know, from where we usually go, you know, on the show. We've spoken a lot around, you know, the retail market, interest rates, the economy, lots of technology, a little bit of, you know, agriculture here and there. But for today, we're, you know, here to talk about something that many people, particularly, you know, just ordinary people going about their lives, you know, come into contact with, you know, and that is biometrics that have become, you know, a somewhat of a standard in many places, whether they're office buildings or shopping centers, you know, issues like that, just around going in and out. And we're going to be talking to the identity company or IDECO just around some of their developments. They've introduced an ultraviolet disinfection device that actually ensures safe use of touch-based fingerprint readers. And to help us to, you know, talk about this, we're joined by IDECO CEO, that is Marius Kutsia. Marius, greetings to you. And I think, you know, a starting off point for us, IDECO, let's just start there. What do you guys do?
Hello, Modiwa. Yes, IDECO has been in the market for, I would say, going for 17 years now. Basically, we are the biggest distributor of biometric solutions in the country. We represent some of the best biometric products that's available in the world market. Typically, it's been used for security at premises, for access control into buildings, into residential estates, etc. Some of our customers use it for clocking of their workforce, time and attendance solutions. In some cases, it's been used for verifying the identity against home affairs, authentication to lock into business processes, etc., etc. So the technology is fairly widely used. There are obviously different type of biometrics available on that we can supply. Some of the biometrics are around recognizing the face. We've got technology that looks at the iris of the person to say whether it is the right person or not. But the most widely used biometric technology in South Africa today is still fingerprint technology. And I think we as consumers are very familiar with it. You know, as I said, when you enter the residential estate or when you go into the building, even if you go to the bank and you want to open a bank account, the bank uses fingerprint biometrics to verify the identity of the person. It is highly secure. It's most trusted, very accurate. And it's in principle such an integral part of our daily lives. Biometrics becomes a tool to say whether you are who you say you are, and IDECO as a company are very integral to the design and the distribution and the integration of these type of solutions for our customers.
You know, when it comes to the new innovation, because it sounds like you guys, you've got the ultraviolet disinfection device that's here. Could you talk to us about what COVID-19 has done to thinking around biometrics? Because as you said, the fingerprint, very trusted, very secure, and it's the most widely used, you know, form of biometrics in the country. But, you know, during this COVID period, it then becomes a contact point that might, you know, help to spread the virus. You know, so, you know, I guess your business, etc., or your clients, what type of conversations have they been having with you? Like, what are the concerns? Because obviously I've noticed, for example, that some people are moving, you know, to touchless entry systems, that type of thing. So how have you seen things developing in the industry?
Yes, as you can imagine, when COVID hit, we were immediately very concerned about the fact that the general consensus out there is that you have to touch as little as possible common areas, And you have to sanitize as far as possible and, you know, keep social distance. I mean, we're all very familiar with the rules and regulations to try and prevent the spread of COVID. Fingerprint technology is one of those things that were mentioned specifically that people need to be careful of to touch the surface area or to touch the fingerprint technology. So that in itself had a potential major detrimental effect on us as and our organization. But what we also saw is that as a result of the concern of you know, fingerprint technology and people touching it, we had many customers that immediately approached us to say, okay, how do they disinfect the technology? And unfortunately, you know, the chemicals that's used today to disinfect these type of technology could have a long-term effect, negative effect on the fingerprint sensors and so on. So we had to very, very fast come up with a solution that that could save the technology itself. The reality is that there are many touchless biometric technologies available. Typically, face recognition solutions are very much marketed in our market at this stage. However, we've seen that these technologies are not as accurate as they claim, and they're not as as fast as they claim. And they're also very expensive. So we cannot expect a customer base of, you know, I would like to say hundreds of thousands of biometric readers as deployed in our market for those customers just to switch them off and replace them with new technology that's not proven, that's not necessarily accurate, and that's expensive. I mean, the capital layout was just not making sense. So fortunately, I mean, we as humans are very blessed with creativity, and the situation basically forced us to start thinking out of the box and see what can be done to protect the investment our customers have made and to make the users, the biometric technology, the touch-based biometric technology, make it safe for users. And that's where the whole idea of using ultraviolet light, UV light, which is very commonly used in the medical space for disinfection and so on, to develop something that we could fit onto a biometric reader to make sure that every time the reader is used, it is disinfected thereafter to make it safe for the next person to use. And that was basically where the whole concept of the Steri-C device was born. And I'm glad to say today that the device is being deployed. There's thousands of these units already rolled out in South Africa. Also in the world, we've got some customers that have responded positively. And the device in principle, as I said, use the UVC light, the right type of UVC light, I have to add, to make sure the biometric fingerprint readers are safe to use in the period that we are at.
Marius, I just want to maybe get an idea from you for our benefit to maybe picture this in our minds, because I'm thinking of a typical fingerprint scanner, and I'm guessing that this is a small device that probably goes above where the actual scanning is, that usually glows red, and I'm guessing that if I place my finger on it, when I take it off, the UV light is already shining and then it disinfects in that process. So I think, you know, one, am I understanding that correctly? And then secondly, how long does it usually take for the UV light to actually disinfect a surface? Like, is it like a second, a couple of seconds? What's usually the guidelines there?
Mudiwa, you're totally correct in your description of how the device actually works. So in principle, I'm going to maybe get a bit technical, but for the UV to disinfect the surface, there's a specific dose that is required. And that's scientifically calculated in terms of the degradation of the pathogens or the germs or the viruses that's on the surface, you need to expose that surface to a certain amount or dose of UV light. Now, what determines the dose is, in principle, the intensity of the UVC light. The second thing that's also very important is the type of UVC light, because not all UVC light are as effective in terms of destroying the germs and the pathogens. And then also the distance of the that the UVC light is above the sensor itself. So if you take that into account, we have opted for a specific type of UVC that has been determined scientifically that has the best effect on the destroying of the viruses and the bacteria and the pathogens on the surface of these type of readers. The distance needs to be exactly or not more than 25 millimeters from the surface area. And then the duration is part of the calculation to say, have I exposed the surface area sufficiently with the right amount of UVC? And in this particular case, we work on it's basically 1.9 seconds of UVC. The intensity is then 2 millijoules, a minimum of 2 millijoules per square centimeter, although we actually go up to 11 millijoules per square centimeter, which means that we expose the surface area with much more than actually that is actually needed. At the end of the exposure that we give, we go into a cycle of recalibrating the sensor of the device itself to make it ready for the next person to use. So the full cycle is worked out at approximately 4 seconds, of which about 2 seconds of that 4 seconds is the actual UVC that is exposing the sensor. Now, what's also important is to know that the UVC is actually not good for a person's skin. If I say it like that, I mean you have to have really a lot of UVC to potentially develop cancer and those type of things. So we are far less in terms of just to make it actually have a sensor on the device that if a person's finger approaches the surface and the surface is still being disinfected, the sensor will actually disable the UVC to make it further safe for the person to use. I mean, if you look at the spectrum that the sun gives out, infrared, the red side of the visible light spectrum, is what is causing the heat, and ultraviolet, which is the purple spectrum of what the sun gives out. The ultraviolet is the one that disinfects, et cetera, et cetera. But there's different frequencies of ultraviolet. And as I said, the one that we're using is the one that's exactly optimized for disinfection and destroying of pathogens like viruses and bacteria and microorganisms and so on.
It really does sound very technical, like you said, and I feel like for a moment I had gone back, to science class and just understanding the spectrum, like you said, you know, infrared to ultraviolet, and then we had the millijoules. But I think the core question was actually very nicely answered, because I think the people will be thinking about a typical use case where in an office building, for example, even if we are still encouraging people not to be at capacity in an office building, there might be that morning rush or that afternoon rush or the lunchtime rush where a lot of people, you know, are all going to work or leaving work and everyone is using maybe a turnstile or a certain elevator or a particular door entrance or gate, you know, one after another. And four seconds, you know, does sound like a short enough time that, you know, a person could, you know, you scan your finger and then you give it a moment and then, you know, the next person goes. and it wouldn't end up being that much of a bottleneck for people, especially in a more, you know, crowded environment.
Exactly. I mean, in our design process, we obviously took into account that the product cannot hamper or delay or frustrate the operational process within the organization. First of all, secondly, the product has to make sure that it actually achieves the disinfection objectives that's needed for to make sure that the fingerprint technology is COVID safe. And then the third aspect is to make it safe for the user to use. The fact that we have the sensor that reads activity if a finger approach to make sure it disables the necessary components to make it safe to use. I mean, those were the three main design criteria. And I would like to add to that to make it small enough to fit onto an existing fingerprint reader. Now many of the fingerprint readers do not have an area where you can actually mount this device. But we have, in the meantime, for the most popular readers out there in the market, we've developed a small bracket that nicely fits above the fingerprint sensor, where you can actually then mount the Steri-C device to disinfect that surface area also. So I think that basically says that it's enabling our existing customer base to continue operations as per normal. And they do not have to switch off their fingerprint readers due to a potential threat of touching the surface area.
Yeah, no, it does sound quite comprehensive as a solution. I want to just take, maybe zoom out on the business as we come to the end of the discussion on two particular points. The first one, just understanding the business model, because it sounds like you guys make money, from selling the devices and perhaps, selling the fingerprint readers and now the Steri-C devices and then possibly the maintenance and systems that go into maintaining those systems over the lifetime of a contract. I don't know if I understand the business model correctly from that point of view.
Okay, so we are, as I said, the biggest distributor of biometric solutions. We actually have a network of certified partners that actually engage commercially with the end users. Although the product is the fulfillment of orders are through the network of partners, so we actually do direct support, specifically support when it gets to integrating the technology into customer solutions, existing solutions, but also after-sale support. We've got repair centers, repair center rather, in our building. We do component-level repair, making sure that the investment our customers make in the technology has a long lifetime. For instance, we still repair products that we sold 8-9 years ago, and they're still doing a good job in the market. So in terms of the commercial model, as I said, we do sell through a network of certified partners. But for Steri-C specifically, because it's so easy to install, straightforward to operate, and you don't operate it, you install it, you switch it on, and it does its own calibration, and thereafter it will do the function it's programmed for. Because it's so easy, we actually have customers that approach us directly, bought the units and install it directly. It's not a complex exercise. If you follow the installation instructions, it's very easy to implement. So I think that should answer your question.
And then the other one is also just maybe understanding so far in terms of putting out the solution, because all of it just come with some element of behavior change. Where people were using fingerprints to get into certain buildings, etc. We saw people taping up those fingerprint scanners, etc. But now there's an opening up of that. So what's been the take up like amongst your client base and your users?
For Steri-C, we had a bit of a challenge, obviously, to get the manufacturing going, because it's a proudly South African product, designed and built in South Africa. But to get the manufacturing going was quite a challenge under the lockdown situation. So we ended up with a bit of a backlog in terms of orders that customers have already placed. But I'm glad to say that that's all been sorted out. And at this stage, the orders are flowing in fairly, I want to say consistently, but we get regular orders coming in. The market is adopting it very well. I also said that internationally, because we've patented the product, we've already have customers in America. We're now dealing with a group in the UK that's actually looking at the potential becoming a potential agent for the product. There's a lot of interest. One of our suppliers of biometric fingerprint technology is in discussions with us to actually integrate this as a standard feature in their future product offerings. I think it's been a tough exercise to get something like this into the market during the lockdown situation. But it's been an interesting development, and I think South Africa can be proud of what we've developed so far, It's been accepted with a lot of interest from many customers.
And then lastly, when it comes to the different types of biometrics technologies that are out there, at the start of the discussion, you did mention there's a couple of things that are, you know, popularly used, whether it's fingerprints, whether it's facial recognition. Yes, fingerprints have, you know, traditionally been the most secure and, you know, most widely used. But because of the COVID regulations around the world, in terms of trends, have you found that there's been a certain other type of biometrics that sort of gained popularity over time, or are people, you know, in the foreseeable future just going to maybe integrate something like Steri-C and continue having fingerprints as the main biometrics technology?
Mudiwa, I would say that fingerprints will always be a fairly dominant modality, and the reason for that is purely because it's such a mature technology. It's very affordable, there's so many different solutions where it's integrated. However, what we are seeing is that facial is becoming quite interesting. I have to use opportunity to warn the market to say that we as IDECA have seen facial technology where on paper it looks very good, but you take a print of or photo of a person and you present that to the reader, and the reader will also open for you. So some of what I'm trying to say is many of the technologies out there are giving a false sense of security rather than real security. But when you start looking at facial technology that specifically use infrared and builds a 3D model of the face, etc. There are good facial technology out there. Unfortunately, the good stuff are still very expensive, well, relatively expensive. The other technology that's also picking up or getting a lot of traction at this stage is based on fingerprint technology, but it's touchless. So you basically wave your hand through the reader, and that wave itself, because the reader has good quality cameras built into it, it picks up the fingerprint technology, and based on that would match the person or not. It's also fairly expensive, but again, it's excellent quality technology that gives you real security. It operates extremely fast, and we're already seeing many of especially in residential sites, as an example, where they're adopting it. And literally the person drives through the boom gate, he just waves his hand through the reader, doesn't touch anything specifically, and based on that wave, the reader will recognize the person or not. Those are the two that I think is really prominent nowadays. The iris technology, in my opinion, is extremely accurate, but it's technology that the user needs to get used to, because you have to You have to go and stand in front of the reader. It focuses on the eyes, and based on that would identify the person or not. So I think, those are the technologies that I think we need to watch in future.
So that's been us with Marius Kotsia, who is the CEO of IDECO. That's the identity company, giving us some insight into SteriC, a new solution that they're using to sterilize or to at least, make clean fingerprint scanners in between uses, because they are a touch point. And as according to COVID-19 guidelines, they had been discouraged as a means for getting in and out of particular areas. So they came up with that small device that just attaches, and then it's able to clean a fingerprint scanner within about 4 seconds. That's how long the cycle works. And then just also ending off talking about the fact that there are some emergent technologies that they're keeping an eye on. The first one being the touchless technologies that's using, cameras, and it's able to detect. And he's saying that that's a good one. The other one is facial recognition. But he's just saying that the reason why fingerprints are still the dominant is because they're so mature and the costs have come down on that end. Whereas with the other types of technologies, the expenses are still quite high to get your hands on the technology. And then ending off also talking about iris, but saying that that one is extremely accurate, but a bit of a deterrent because of how close people need to get to a system. And also just educating people about how all of that works. So thank you so much to Marius for just talking to us about that. This is something that we all come into contact with in one way or another, and it's good to see that there are companies trying to solve some of these issues.
This is Mudiwa's Tech.
A very fascinating discussion on a topic that I think it affects all of us, but we never really pay much attention to it. I mean, according to the guidelines, they say don't touch the fingerprint scanners. We don't touch the fingerprint scanners. So it's cool to see that there are, companies that are out there trying to solve some of these issues. One of the things I'm interested to then see, because a company like IDECO is, primarily concerned with your fingerprint scanners, which is why they came up with this. But it also makes you start wondering. I'm not a scientist, so I'm open to hearing how the technology itself actually works. We were hearing about millijoules and intensity and all of that. Is it not possible that we could have a use case where people could have some of these ultraviolet devices on top of door handles, or some of those common things? Because those are all touch points that we're all coming into contact with on a daily basis, particularly in an office environment or a retail environment where you're touching a lot of things. So what are some of the use cases? Because today when you're talking to someone like Marius, he's concerned about, biometrics. But outside of biometrics, there's just general safety. Could it be possible that at an estate or something like that, that you could have such UV devices, just making sure that common touch points are periodically disinfected, right? And it just makes you think about that one. And then the last thing is just, I guess, the education around it, and also just making sure that people do stay safe, because as he said, exposure to ultraviolet rays in certain quantities is not good for people. It's small enough, with their devices that it causes no harm. But if we do find ourselves in a situation where you have a lot of these ultraviolet scanners all over the place, it might be a small dose each time, but what happens over time? These are all just, questions that people just, do need to consider. And, once again, COVID-19 just proving that it's just changing the way that we do things, making us confront questions that we never thought we needed to ask. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your podcasted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Modie Himashemayete. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So, for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.